Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
That's right, 6 o'clock. Nice job, Eddie Scuderi. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Boomer Esiason, Craig Carton. On the Fan, and of course worldwide on CBS Sports Network. Got a great show for you today. Glad to have you here. As the New York Knicks, oh boy, the New York Knicks decide to interrupt a lousy week of baseball. So thank you to the Knicks for getting our attention off. The New York Yankees have now lost 7 in a row. The New York Mets aren't even competitive. For the New York Knicks, we'll take front and center for a lot of today because they are trying to trade Porzingis. And they didn't tell Porzingis, but they told everybody else. And the Celtics are first in line to get him. We'll walk you through it. It's stupid. Good morning, Boomer. How are you today, buddy boy?
You know, I'm doing great, Craig. And it's great to be back. And thanks to Governor Christie for taking my seat for yet another day. You know, here's the thing. With the Yankees now losing, what, 6 in a row?
7.
7 in a row.
Half game out.
The Mets season completely over, getting just absolutely raked by the Dodgers again.
Yep.
And they're going to have to go like, you know, they're going to have to win like 60 games or something just to get to, you know, like 91 or 92 wins. And that's luck. Not going to be good enough. So forget that. You know, the Knicks now all of a sudden offer an interesting discussion point.
Yeah.
And here's the one thing that I already do not like about what I'm hearing. And it's coming from Kristaps Porzingis' brother.
Yeah.
Oh, how the Knicks are treating their players. I mean, time out for a second. You know, since when did somebody anoint Kristaps Porzingis and his brother like, you know, the end-all, be-all, that they're going to be the ones that need to be treated a certain way? Go screw off. Here's the end of the, at the end of the day, this is all that matters. And I don't know whether or not Phil Jackson has it within him to make the decisions that are possible to try to turn something around and get some semblance of a basketball team here that will be competitive and will give a damn. And if it does include trading Porzingis, then you trade him. You know, I don't. Maybe this kid is not what we thought he was going to be. Maybe he's all caught up in the fashionista of being New York and looking the part and being beloved because he's a 7-footer who can do some pretty stupid things on the basketball court.
Yep.
At the end of the day, I don't care what his brother says. I don't care what he says. I don't care what Carmelo Anthony says. I don't care what anybody who has had a hand in 50 losses has to say about the way that they believe or perceive that they are being treated. I'm sorry.
Aspect of this, I agree with you 100%.
It's amazing to me. Like, you know, the basketball players are so amazingly arrogant in their commentary about who they are, what they're all about. It's just, and Porzingis' brother just follows, like, this is what he's learned from Carmelo Anthony the last 2 years, is how to be a pain in the ass. You're the one who left the exit interviews. You're the one who decided not to stay and talk to your coaching staff or your general manager or the president of the team.
And now in return, they haven't talked to him for 2 months, and that's the way it goes. But I'm with you, but there's not a single guy on this team that is untradeable, including Porzingis. There's two aspects of it that are troubling to me. It's that I have no faith or trust in the guy that's making the decisions.
That's probably the most important aspect of all of this.
And I thought Porzingis had a disappointing second year based on what was a great rookie year, right?
Yep.
I mean, he's only playing 30 minutes a game because he doesn't have the ability to play beyond that. And he gave you 18-7. So he can do things that most guys can't, and he's over 7 feet tall.
But how good do we know he really is?
We don't.
Because he hasn't been playing with... I think the right direction and or the right people on the court.
Here's my problem with it. Beyond the fact that I just don't trust Phil Jackson to make the right move, is that you have something that I believe, like what you just said, under the right coaching staff and in the right system, meaning not Carmelo Anthony, Porzingis should be a dominant player in the league.
Let's say
a guy who scores 25 a game.
Let's say Porzingis goes to, I don't know, the Spurs or goes to the Warriors.
He's 25 and 10 every night.
Right, exactly. But he's not going to be that here. And you know what?
But you're giving up on a guy after the second year, and here's the problem. I agree, this is a very sexy draft. We all know that, right? So if you give up Porzingis,
you better get something in return.
And let's say the Celtics give you the third pick in the draft, which right now would be a bit of a crapshoot. Let's just say they did. Who are you taking, right? So let's say we assume they take the best guard left, depending on how the chips fall, with the Sixers going first and the Lakers, right? So now you've
got to believe that Fulton and Ball are gone. Now,
right.
Now you have the best of the rest. You have Fox, you have Monk, you have
right.
all these other great.
But I've got a 7'2" guy who can do things away from the basket that maybe only one other guy in the history of the game could do. Isn't it my job to develop that guy?
You would like to think so. The problem is that you see what's coming out of his camp now. There's things that behind the scenes we probably don't know. I'm not really advocating the trade. I'm only saying that, you know, they also could be doing this just to scare him.
Maybe. And I agree, everyone's tradable. But I don't trust the guy making the deal, number one.
Let me ask you a question.
They love this kid out of Arizona, Lauri Markkanen, however you pronounce it. He's Porzingis light.
I heard he was great on the power play.
Like, why do I want that guy? He's another 7-footer. Porzingis is better than that guy. So if you want to make deals, then the first deal the Knicks should make is get rid of Carmelo Anthony.
They got to figure out how to do that.
Find out a way to do it and do it. Now, if you want to tell me Porzingis is tradable, you better go out there and get a guy that immediately dominates whatever position he plays.
It's one of the few assets that they have.
Right.
Now, the question is if they can turn those assets into a third and the eighth overall pick, the question is, do you do something like that? And the other problem is that you're not just trading Porzingis to just a random team. You're trading him, if in fact this is true, to the Celtics, which
yes.
is in your division, which obviously won the conference last year.
And by the way, if
they're going to have potentially the first two picks overall in next year's draft.
And if Porzingis became the player we've seen flashes of, he is the type of guy that makes the Celtics good enough to beat the Cavs. So I get the Celtics interested in him big time. Don't forget, the Celtics trading down to number three, and Danny Ainge said it, the Sixers can get the guy they really want. We're going to get the guy we really want.
Yeah, because he
plus
also said, like, he said, look, if the guy that we're going to take at three is most likely the guy we would have taken at one.
Correct.
So that means they have somebody rated higher than both Ball and Fultz.
I agree 100%. It's probably Fox. That's my gut on it. But, you know, with Isaiah Thomas there, who knows what they're going to do? It just, you get the rumor out there, and it's, again, Wojnarowski at the Vertical is the best in the business at it. So you know it's real. That's the first thing, right?
Right.
Number two, it's a very strange where you have a second-year player who has not really accomplished a significant amount, although his numbers will tell you that he can play in the league and play very well at 18-7 last year, right? But at the end of the day, you have a young kid who's already been jaded by his NBA experience, which is threefold. One, it's on him. Number two, he's getting bad advice from veterans like Carmelo Anthony, in my opinion. And number three, you as an organization lack the skills to properly build.
And here's the thing.
And that's my problem.
And here's the other thing. Two of the top three teams at the top of the draft happen to be in your division.
Right.
The Sixers and the Celtics.
Correct.
It is. It's in the foreseeable future, I don't know if the Sixers are going to get it right. You know, who knows? They've been picking number one or number two overall over the last 10 years, it seems like. But you got to believe that over the next 5 years, that these teams are younger, they're going to be more athletic, they're going to be better, they're going to have top-end talent. And here you're, Knicks, sitting here.
Yep.
Doing what?
Right, doing what? Now, if someone told me that they have the third pick and the eighth pick, you'd sure to get two guys that are immediate starters in the NBA for you that make a difference.
These guys are kids, so
I've
that means another year. Just another year, another 50-game, another 50 games lost.
But the point is, here's the problem with it. I know it's not college, and in theory, when you get to the NBA, you got to be ready to play. But it is the franchise's responsibility when they draft a teenager and bring a teenager into the mix that they developed that kid into a great player based on where they picked that player,
right? Well, Carmelo Anthony was the perfect example for Porzingis to learn how to become an NBA pain-in-the-ass basketball player.
That's where he's going.
But don't you remember when he first came here? This is going to be great. I'm going to be working with Carmelo. I'm going to be learning everything from Carmelo. He's learning from Carmelo.
But I'll say this.
His brother comes out and said, oh, the Knicks are treating the players so poorly. Shut up. I don't care.
We're paying you a lot of money to play basketball.
Keep your mouth shut. I know the media loves this crap because the media eats it up and they write about it and it's sensational and it's drama ridden because that's what the NBA is all about, drama.
Right.
I mean, it's part and parcel to what the problem with, I believe, ultimately is with the Knicks. And that's the culture of the Knicks, the interior culture. What are they trying to be? Who are they? What is their...
On both sides. Player side and executive.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, what is it? What are they trying to be?
Well, I don't think they know. And I think Phil Jackson is showing desperation right now to prove that he's got the goods.
And I am not saying that it's easy to create a culture, because it's not. The Yankees have a culture, even though they've lost 7 in a row. They have a culture because they're the Yankees. They have 28 championships or whatever it is. They wear the pinstripes. They play in Yankee Stadium, one of the most iconic brands in all of the world. Not forget about just here. So they have a culture. The New York Giants, I believe, have a culture. They have won Super Bowls. They have done it a certain way. Their ownership carries themselves a certain way. They expect a certain type of player to be on their team. Every now and again, there's going to be a screw-up somewhere along the line because that happens to be professional sports. But there is a culture there. You know what I'm saying?
I actually believe
for the New York Rangers, there is a culture there. I think the Islanders are trying to build one. I think the Devils had one, lost it, and now are trying to rebuild it. The Mets, they don't have one. They've never had one, and they lost it completely after the 2002 season. And then when they got all caught up in a whole Madoff thing, I don't think that's even remotely a possibility for that team under the current lay of the landscape. But, for the Knicks have been like a rudderless ship for, it seems like, an eternity when they finally let Patrick Ewing go. And they had the one little run there with Latrell Sprewell, and they have done nothing since then.
No, and they're one of the franchises where it truly starts at the very top and then weeds its way down. But this whole thing with Porzingis is comical on both sides. It's comical now, that on his side that he talks about being mistreated when he started acting like a douche at the end of the year and certainly after the year. It's comical on the Knicks side from a front office standpoint that if you are going to entertain trading him, and I get it, entertain everything that's on the table.
Everything.
You don't announce that.
Yeah, you do. But you know why you announce it?
That's a mistake.
But you want to know why you announce it? You put this guy on blast and say, I don't know who you think you are. You left our... See, what player blows off the exit meetings? What second-year player blows off the exit meetings?
Nobody.
To me, that shows me that the kid is not all in. And I know that it's hard because he's just went through two seasons in which they lost 50 games each year.
Right.
It's a hard thing. I get all that. But at the end of the day, you have a responsibility as a professional athlete to follow through on what your team asks you to do, even if you don't like it.
I agree.
And by him blowing off those meetings, to me, that's about as selfish as it gets.
I agree. But you have a 7'2" guy that can play the game in a manner most guys can't.
Right.
And it's your responsibility to develop that.
Show some balls, get him out of here. But I don't necessarily know that I would trade him to the Celtics, but the only reason you would trade him to the Celtics is if you got that third pick back.
I don't know that I would do it. I really don't. Like, from a football standpoint, you bring in a young quarterback. Isn't it your job to develop the talent?
Yeah, but you understand something that this
develop kid...
Develop
the
kid. This kid may be... they put him under the wing and under the guise of Carmelo Anthony.
Right.
And the kid is ruined right now. Hey, let me ask you this question.
I agree, but he had 18-7.
But what do the Knicks really honestly need before they can do anything else?
Well, I think they need a new front office.
I'm talking about on the court. Let's just talk about the court.
On the court, they have to get rid of Carmelo Anthony.
But they do, but they also need a high-end point guard what they need.
Yes, they agreed.
Now, I will say this because
you
I think...
You can get one if you want to pick third.
I think, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I have high hopes for this next player that I probably shouldn't have. But, watching him in college, this kid was great. And the fact that he was a second overall pick of the draft for the Lakers... And somehow the Nets traded for what I would believe is their point guard of the future because maybe D'Angelo Russell is going to grow into that player.
I think it's a great trade by the Nets. Yeah.
Now, look.
If you missed it real quick, they get D'Angelo Russell, Timofey Mozgov. They have finally got rid of the Brook Lopez contract and their 27th overall pick. I think it's from a Nets perspective, I think it's a great trade.
So do I. So do I.
And I think Russell couldn't play out there anymore, and he had some personality issues with some of the other guys. But he can play.
So it's too bad the Knicks couldn't make that trade.
Right. Well,
they can't with the 8th pick overall. That's too much, I think.
Yeah.
But D'Angelo Russell was the number 2 overall pick for the Lakers. As you said, a personality issues with one of his teammates, and there's some other crap off the court.
Yep.
But I think maybe he finds a home now at the Nets. He's 21 years old. He's got energy. And you know what? That is smart, by the
way. It's a great deal. They also get rid of the Brook Lopez contract. They get younger. Well, they get more athletic.
Do you see Mozgov's contract?
Yeah, but it's a really good deal by the Nets, who, by the way, will join us tomorrow at Grand Central for our 30th anniversary show for the station. So be a good time to talk to those guys. We'll get all your calls coming up. We'll, of course, get into the baseball. As Boomer said, the Mets, what else are you going to say? The Yankees now 7 in a row. And when is there any end in sight? We'll get to all that. We'll get your calls. We'll get you an update from Jerry. Lots cooking Wednesday in the city.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
Now the gates open up at 6 o'clock. The game starts at 7. And if you have not bought your ticket yet, there's some tickets available. And if you're looking for something to do with the kids tonight and see some high-quality future college stars and maybe beyond that, play some football tonight, that is tonight over at Hofstra. And again, the gates open at 6 o'clock. Right?
That's right. Exactly right.
Very good. And CBS Sports Network will be televising it. It won't air live, but it'll air shortly thereafter.
Right. Well, we'll get the dates and all that stuff, when we come back next week.
Sounds good. Jerry Recco's here now with an update. Good morning, Jerry.
Well, good morning. Brought to you by Bruni and Campisi Air Conditioning. Keep cool and visit BruniandCampisi.com. A couple of quickies with the basketball. You guys obviously spent a lot of time on Kristaps Porzingis, Phil Jackson, and all that. You mentioned the Nets trade, Brook Lopez going to L.A., D'Angelo Russell, Timofey Mozgov coming back. Nets also giving up the 27th overall pick.
It's a great trade for the Nets. It really is.
Especially with it being the final year of his contract and all that.
Yeah, I think it came out of nowhere, which is how a trade that has to happen. And it's very un-Nick-like, where the Knicks will announce to the world, step right up, step right up. Who do you want for the Knicks? Nets go out there and acquire a kid who was thought to be amongst a lot of people 2 years ago. The best player in the draft.
And how about the fact that you have Dwight Howard now being traded once again, Atlanta to the Charlotte Hornets, right?
Yes, exactly right. So, and he goes there for Miles Plumlee, like Marco 15? Bellinelli, and the 40. Yeah.
The 60.
It's unbelievable. What's happened to him?
I think he's like a split personality guy. There's something missing there because to have that body type and to be that athletic and that big and strong to be shipped all over the
he's
league.
A quitter.
Yeah. I mean, I think teams end up getting tired of him.
Well, he quit being a new guy
who had the ability to be one of the best players in the league. He just doesn't give a damn anymore.
You think anything changed with Jordan being around or not really?
I don't anymore.
You don't?
I think that's a short-lived thing where, hey, it's Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you're out in the basketball court and you become who you are.
Do you care? Do you not care?
Right.
I'm sure that
the first day he shows up and if Mike's in the gym, I think you'll see, oh, my, look, Dwight Howard. Because he's in great shape. He looks great, but he's a dog.
I think there's like a mental block or something. There's one day he looks like he can go out and score 40 points every game, and the next day he just decides not to get involved.
But anyway, he was on. Forget about the Laker experience.
Houston.
I'll give you that. But for him to FUBAR Houston, man, that team is set up perfectly for what he brings to the table talent wise. He's a dog. Sadly, and listen, maybe he turns it around, but it's highly unlikely.
Also of note, Dwayne Wade, according to reports, will opt in Chicago. I'm sure the Bulls probably were hoping he would opt out.
Yeah, it's $23 million.
Almost 24.
And the real big question right now is what's going on with Paul George and what's going on with Jimmy Butler? Those are the two like signature players that are out there that are talking about wanting to be traded, wanting to leave. And even George has told Indiana, look, I'm done with you guys.
Yeah, the issue has been for the teams that they've been rumored to go to, because of salary, you got to get a third team involved somehow. Because everyone wants to go to Cleveland right now, but because of how much money those guys make, you got to get a third team involved and you got to start dumping and trading salaries.
If you're Chicago, would you ever trade him to Cleveland? I don't even care what the return is.
But isn't that kind of like Porzingis going to Celtics?
Right, exactly.
I suppose. I'm not sure we still know what Porzingis is, though. I really don't. I don't think we know. And
we know
injury
what Jimmy
prone.
Butler is.
I think we do, yeah.
And you put him on the Cleveland
Cavaliers. That's what I mean.
It doesn't make any sense.
I think Dwayne Wade re-upping there is, which is a more interesting thing right now.
But didn't those guys all have problems in Chicago this year?
Well, Butler and Wade did because they called out their team, if you remember.
Yes.
And then they had a big team meeting, and then the team called those two guys out.
And it was their point guard. What's his name? The former Celtic?
Rajon Rondo.
Yeah, he got involved in all of that crap.
Like, Wade re-upping to me tells you that Butler ain't coming back. But it also tells you that I thought for a minute there that Cleveland would try to make some moves to bring Wade in.
Yeah, but Butler basically said yesterday that he wants to stay in Chicago. He didn't say he wants to leave.
No, he didn't. Right. He wants to, but... to me, that's semantics. He's on the table.
I'll tell you, the NBA right now is fascinating because they're all, I mean, the amount of moves that everybody's making.
Well, it's fascinating for certain teams. If you're the Celtics, if you're the Bulls, if you're the Cavs,
and I think it also
if you're the Lakers,
you,
if you're the Nets, you've made changes to your roster already.
If you're
the Knicks, what's so exciting about that?
And if you're the Lakers and you trade D'Angelo Russell, that means you're taking Lonzo Ball, doesn't it?
I believe the Lonzo Ball deal just got sealed because of that, yes.
You would think so. All right, baseball last night at the stadium. So the Angels go up 3-0 on the Yankees.
Pardon me one sec, and I apologize, just to finish that thought. Alonzo Ball I agree he's going to L.A. He had a bad workout, and most people thought he was out of shape for the workout.
Yeah.
He didn't work out for anybody else. Now, if you're Magic Johnson, and you think Fox, I'm making this up, is a better player than Alonzo Ball.
Take him.
And you know Fultz is going to go to the Sixers first. If you're Alonzo Ball, and you had the father issue, you refuse to try out for anybody else, etc. If the Lakers pass on you, where's he getting drafted? He ain't going third.
Go to Phoenix, maybe?
Good question.
Phoenix, Sacramento.
That dynamic would be very interesting because there are a lot of people, based on when they played against each other, that think Fox is better. So it'd be interesting if the Lakers don't take him. In any event, go ahead.
It sounds like they're taking him. It really does.
So the Angels go up 3-0 on the Yankees. Part of that is an error by Chris Carter that certainly aided in their efforts there. The Yankees battle back. They get to 3-3. Enter Tyler Clippard.
Oh, he's brutal.
He faces Cameron Maben.
1-0 to Maben.
Boom!
And he hits a high drive to left. Gardner goes back, turns around and looks, and she is gone. Over the auxiliary scoreboard. In left center.
That's John Sterling on the
one man. Dozen farm fresh eggs.
Let's leave him in, though, so he gave up two more shots that damn near clear the fence.
A double.
Yeah.
And then the ball that Gardner goes up for and can't catch.
And that ball hit the wall before
he hit
his
glove. That
wasn't
his fault,
I mean, like, hey, hello! Hello! That guy can't pitch!
He get the triple.
Jesus.
Right? I think it was Escobar had the triple.
He came in a tie game, got one guy out, gave up three hits at 3 earned runs.
He was charged with 3 runs. That's exactly right. Angels go on to beat the Yankees 8-3. Luis Valbuena had the RBI single off of Holder, who came in after Clippard, and then gave up a home run, or rather then hit the home run in the ninth inning as well.
And to be fair, I mean, I know it was 3-3. The Yankees only had three hits going into the seventh inning.
That's true.
So it wasn't like the Yankees that, in a lot of the losses on the road where they had a boatload of dudes on base and couldn't get the big hit. They didn't hit the ball last night.
I mean, they only had four hits
and
for the game.
I know Judge, Goji, and Sanchez both hit home runs. But at the end of the day, the Yankees' offense was stymied.
Yeah, but you know what? You can't get the tying home run from Sanchez, which was a bullet. I mean, it left the yard like in about 5 seconds. And then go back out on the mound and give up a home run to the first guy you face.
Brutal.
Right.
It can't happen that way. And that's what's happening to the Yankees. Then all of a sudden the game gets away from them from that point on.
Well, the game ended in the seventh. You're right.
Yeah. Here's Clippard. Failing stinks.
That's super frustrating it's not fun.
He was, as you can imagine, booed off the mound.
Yes,
that's 7 straight losses for Joe Girardi's team.
Every team goes through their down periods. I mean, that's the bottom line. And it can be for a lot of different reasons that you go through it. But I like that club in there.
I got a question for you guys.
Yeah.
Do you think the Yankees will touch first place again?
You're funny.
Shut up.
They may not.
Anyway.
I don't know.
So they've lost.
They may not.
Yeah, Montgomery
straight.
And Snellasco tonight.
Yes.
So
they are a half game behind Boston. No, they still have less losses than Boston, but Boston's played a few more games. They beat Kansas City last night 8-3. We will have the Yankees and Angels again on the fan tonight, 6:25. The other thing.
There's one other problem with the Yankee game yesterday.
Okay.
And it's very un-Yankee-like. And it's the first time I've ever seen this guy do this.
On the double that you're talking about, there's man on first. I forget who it was on first base. It doesn't matter. So Gardner makes the, you know, gets the ball after hits the wall and off his glove, throws to Didi.
Yeah.
And Didi Gregorius is about maybe 10 feet into the outfield grass. And
this was the Escobar triple.
And he's completely unaware
that
Escobar is going to third, and he lollygags it. And by the time he realizes it, it's too late. He would have had him out easy.
It just seemed like he just assumed it was a double.
Yeah, watch this again.
By the time he realizes he's still running, he was there.
So Gardner gets the ball. Gardner throws into Gregorius, right? And Didi nonchalant just has it. Meanwhile, the guy's halfway to third.
Yeah.
And here's a better view of it. Watch this. So he's got the ball, right?
Oh, no.
Totally lazy. And you don't see the throw, but then at that point, it's too late.
He's lazy.
On TV, at times, this is the BNC softball team looks a little like this.
They even called them.
It's very, very disappointing.
They even called them out on TV, whoever it was.
What are you looking at me for?
They even said, you know, Didi's napping just allows him to go to third base.
Well, just to finish that thought, it is official. I tore the hamstring.
Really?
I tore it. I didn't tear it against the Hebrew, but I thought I did. But I tore it against the United States Army. And the entire back of my leg is now black and blue. Yep.
That sucks. A lot of ice.
Yeah, well, you know how it goes. It's, you know, it's called being a man, Jerry. You still got to go out there and try. Or not.
I suppose
so. In the case of you and Al.
Don't look at me.
You know, the back injury I can understand, but the bone bruise.
Okay.
It's a bone bruise. My bone is bruised.
Boneless. Bone bruise hurts more than a plantar fasciitis, I bet. Hey,
boneless.
Let me ask you a question. I don't think so. Let me ask you a question, Jerry.
Yes.
We're talking about the Red Sox, Yankees, the Orioles.
Yeah.
Reading about them. They had like a 16-game span where they gave up at least five or six
Even
runs.
Dylan Bundy got shelled the other day.
It's like a record. They set a record for the most consecutive games.
Yep.
Giving up five or more.
Five or more runs. And they won last night 6-5.
They did.
So that's another game where they gave up five runs.
Well, we know that when their big Achilles heel is their pitching, and it is in full force right now.
Yeah. What else you got,
it's like
Jared?
The Mets.
The one other thing from the Yankees, you had the Aaron Judge was asked to participate in the home run derby. He's not sure. He's got to think about it.
Aaron Judge is going to participate in the home run derby.
He damn well better.
I'm going to the game tomorrow night.
I know there's Cody Bellinger better.
So I'm sure he will too.
You know what they should just do? Just ask the Mets pitching staff to pitch to these guys for the home run hitting contest. And I'm sure they would all hit like 100 home runs.
I'm glad you brought that up because last night the game starts. Guy on base. All right. Yeah. All good. Second man come to the plate against Robert Gisellman was Corey Seager.
2-1 to Seager. Swinging a high fly ball deep to center. Going back Conforto with the track and the wall. He jumps, but it's gone.
That says Howie Rose on WOR. So it's 2-0. All good.
Nobody out.
Five pitches in. It's 2-0. Next batter, ground ball to third base, TJ Rivera.
Hello.
Nice routine play. Let's throw the ball wide and off the base. So we have an error man on. And that brings up Cody Bellinger.
And he drives this one.
Jesus.
Back to the warning track.
First four guys up, first four guys score.
They batted around in the first inning. They were lucky to get out of that only 4-0.
I mean, laid the ball right over the plate for Bellinger.
That was Gary Cohen,
like right on a tee.
But I agree with you. Bellinger, hell, I'd put Sanchez in there, Judge.
I told Al, Eric Thames should be the guy from Milwaukee.
Yeah,
had a great season.
Thames.
Yeah, I mean, George Springer should be in it.
Springer, of course. George Springer should be in there.
Joey Votto
should be in there.
But the thing about it is that... Aaron Judge, though, makes it sexy.
If they're both in it, it's pretty remarkable.
I agree, and they should go back-to-back at the very end of the whatever the first round is. You have 46 combined home runs between those two guys.
It's unbelievable.
Now, take a look at Cody Bellinger.
52 games.
Physically, he looks like a stick figure.
He's long.
Right,
that's what
I always say. You don't need to have big muscles to play baseball.
Kind of reminds me a little of Ted Williams.
Physically?
Yeah.
You ever see him naked?
No. I've never seen Bellinger naked either.
Well, there you have it.
Well, unlike the night prior where the Mets put up some sort of a fight, they lost 12-0 last night. Corey Seager hit two more home runs. He had three of them on the evening. And Yasmani Grandel hit a home run.
All right, so when do we start selling off players?
Well, in the next
healthy
4 weeks.
Do we have healthy players to sell off?
Yeah.
When's the trade deadline?
Jay Bruce has a lot of market value, I would certainly think.
I think Jay Bruce has the most market value.
Neil Walker's got to have some market value.
Because the injury, though.
He's not able right now.
How about Reyes? Reyes got some marketability.
Granderson should have some market value. I don't know how much, but
I mean,
some.
Reyes would, because he ain't making any money from the Mets.
That's true.
So what do you think you're going to get
the
in
problem
return?
With Reyes, he's betting 200. Not right. even. 190.
But he said in the article with Kirsty Ackert yesterday that he feels terrific.
Right. He did have two home runs the other night.
Yeah, but he didn't get hit with the bases loaded in the ninth.
The good news for the Mets, as they have now lost, what is it, 5 of 6, I suppose. The good news is they've got their stopper tonight, Tyler Pill.
Tyler Pill
makes the start against this dynamic Dodger offense. It's Pill versus Hill.
Yeah, it's the third time in Met history that the starting pitcher for the Mets name rhymed the starting pitcher for the opposition.
The third time.
Third time in Met history.
What were the other two times?
What happened?
What were the other two times?
Oh, back in 1996, of course, Rick Aguilera faced off against Bobby Nagalera.
Stupid.
Remember that?
That's the best you can come
Dwight
up with.
Dwight Gooden once pitched against Bob Wooden. You remember that?
So then this is the third time, Pill and Hill.
And then now. Right. So now there's now. Which
Rick
is
Aguilera
the
is really the first name that popped into
Rick
your
Aguilera,
head.
But he pitched against Bob Magulera.
Right.
Which rhymes with Aguilera in
the
some
immortal
weird case
Bob
of having
Magulera.
Magulera.
Played for the Twins back in the day.
My math is right. The Mets have 92 games left.
You're not good at math, though, so let me double check.
They have 92 games left?
Yeah.
60 and 32.
Yeah.
To have a chance.
Good luck.
To have a chance.
60 wins would give them 91 wins.
Which, with the way the Diamondbacks and the Rockies and the Dodgers are playing, they're going to need every bit of those.
Rockies got 47 wins.
Rockies are awesome, by the way.
I'll tell you what, the Mets better start booking
some more
concerts.
Dodgers got 46 wins. Diamondbacks got 44 wins.
Yep. Diamondbacks had their winning streak snapped by the Rockies last night.
That's all the Mets have.
Yeah,
31 wins.
The Dodgers are 20 games over 500.
The season is over. They're not going to make it. As much as of a Met fan as I am,
it's hard to argue.
I got to be a realist.
Hey, Boom, good news, though. This Saturday, Dead & Company's there. Then in July, Linkin Park is there.
They've also got a monster 3-day concert in September.
That in September, is it?
Yes.
I thought that was, that's with Jay-Z and
a bunch of different, not
your
I don't
favorite
know how to
band.
Do this. The Chili Peppers there on Sunday that weekend. Nas is there
Nas
one of the days.
Nas used to be a bit of an aggressive rapper. Then he found religion. Nas had one classic album that you've never heard.
I was told he's very popular.
Nas is extraordinarily popular.
So he's there as well that weekend. Jay-Z's, that's a pretty good weekend.
It's
and they have a big
deal.
They have some sort of ticket
well
where you get entry to all
the
three.
Baseball team stinks.
Well, it's a festival, Jerry.
No, I know. I thought it was a cool event. That's all.
They got this other thing called the Classic East, which I think is Fleetwood Mac, Journey, the Eagles, Earth, Wind & Fire, the Doobie Brothers, and Steely Dan.
Yep. Is that a two-day
six
event?
Six bands with all lead singers who are no longer with us. What happened?
Well, Dan's still with Steely, isn't he?
I mean, Steely Dan.
It can't
knows?
Be Steely. It's like having Bruce Springsteen and he's not there. Right? That wouldn't make sense.
You got the Eagles.
Well,
what, they're not
like,
really
you know,
all
not having
there,
Billy
right?
Joel in front of like his piano, but you have Michael Del Judas.
Well, Journey.
Right.
That kid, but he sounds singer. Just like Steve Perry.
He does. The Filipino kid.
Yes.
Right. Earth, Wind, and Fire, half them got to be dead. Right?
I guess Wind and Fire.
The Eagles
yeah.
are missing.
Well, Don Henley's
the
there, though.
Eagle out of Eagles.
But Don Henley still
the
sings.
The Doobie Brothers, Michael McDonald doesn't sing with them anymore.
I wouldn't think so.
What about CCR?
They're not even in the show.
There you go.
That being said, they do have some good concerts at City
they
Field.
Do. No, they do,
if I'm the Mets, I start booking every... Hey, is Constantine available? We just need events because no one's going to come watch the Mets.
You know what they do there, too? They do that Reebok Spartan race there at City Field every summer.
You know what I would
which
do?
Which is pretty popular.
Like every Tough Mutter thing?
Yeah,
every Mets
cool.
game going forward should be at 1 o'clock. And then this way you could have concerts at night.
By the way, I agree with you 100%. Lady Gaga is going to be there.
Wow.
Oh, you're talking about the show you're referencing is called The Meadows.
Okay.
Weezer, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Jay-Z, Gorillaz. Oh, maybe Mike will go to that.
Gorillaz?
Gorillers.
Gorillaz.
Gorillers.
Gorilla.
Future Nas, Boomer's favorite, Bass Nectar. Oh,
Bass
yeah.
Nectar, baby.
Bass Nectar.
Bass Nectar. What's up? Yo, who's about her Bass Nectar's playing at City Field?
Let's get your freak on.
Boom, I get you pregnant.
I'm going to get your freak on.
Yo, baby. My main man Action Bronson's playing in that show.
Really?
Yeah, Boom don't like him, though.
Why don't you like Action Bronson?
Boom's got a thing for
my man
Bronson.
I have nothing against Action Bronson
Action Bronson's
at all.
Good people.
I have nothing against him.
He loves us.
Yeah.
Booms doesn't like him, and he hurt us.
I like him.
Is he the
first
blank
of all,
that's
I didn't
delicious?
Feeling. And by the way, right. I have no problem with Action Bronson. I have no issues.
Because I invite
nothing.
Action Bronson to do a number at the Boomer and Carton 10th anniversary show. Yo, what's up?
Whatever you want, dog.
In Atlantic City?
Atlantic City at Borgata. Yo, Action Bronson. I got some. They gave me a budget now to have some people come to perform for us at the big party at the Borgata.
Nice. Eddie, make sure you bring the cheese whiz.
What does that mean exactly? Huh? What? You think I'm going cheesy? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Huh?
No, you're Sir Sucks-a-Lot.
The DJ.
The number one DJ on the East Coast.
That's
Sir
right.
Sucks-a-Lot.
That's fine. Listen, Mike's a very dangerous and powerful thing in a club room.
Yeah.
Just putting it out there for you.
Is this a workable budget where you're, I mean, we're talking.
Budget.
It's called We Effed Up, We're Really Sorry. So here's $15,000 to bring talent in to make the event even bigger than it's going to be already.
Very cool.
So I got 15 grand to spend on talent to come perform for us at the Borgata. What? You know anybody?
Constantine.
Giving Constantine 15,000.
Bob Holding Man, right?
Yeah.
I'm thinking like
Gary U.S. Bonds.
No, I'm going to hook it up. You're going to see. We're going to run the gamut from the first year of our show to this year. We're going to bring in the stars. 15 grand goes a long way when you're Dougie Fresh.
Jesse Decker.
I'd love to have Jesse there, but now she's in Nashville now.
Yeah.
So, in any event, we'll get your calls. Anything else, Jerry?
No.
Yo, LL Cool J's going to be at that Meadows Music and Arts Festival, too. The Meadows.
Seems like a cool weekend.
Well, if you like rap music.
And alternative rock
music.
Mama said knock you out.
All right, we're live from the Investors Bank Studios here at WFAN.
Take this in a little bit of my storm, and I'm just getting warm.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
They have not spoken to him since the season ended. Now, that starts with him deciding to blow them off first. And rather than coach him and make him the best player he can be, they'd rather just give up and trade him and start brand new with an unknown quality.
We don't know whether they're giving up on Porzingis or
if
not.
If they trade him, they're giving up on him.
Well, they're just saying that there are potential trade interests, because I think that's the one chip that every team around the league would probably look at and say, you know what? We maybe can do something here.
You're starting over again. If you go get the kid from Arizona, who you hear a lot of hype on, McConnon, however you say it, he's a Porzingis type player.
You know, at the end of the day, the New York Knicks are so far away from competing for anything.
This draft,
especially with, you don't know what they're going to get with the 8th overall pick. I'm telling you, if the 3rd overall pick is there, and Fox is the guy that you're going to pick, you got to do it. If the Celtics are willing to give you the 3rd pick, and let's say Fultz and Ball go 1 and 2.
So you're saying if you're picking 3rd and 8th?
3rd and 8th. You got Fox would be your point guard of the future.
Right.
This kid Markkanen, however you say his name, becomes a forward for you. And then you roll. Then you roll with what you have, and you're starting over. And
so
you're literally getting all the trash out of the locker room and all the guys that don't give a damn out of the locker room. Well, I don't want to hear about Kristaps Porzingis and his brother. They're not treating me right and all this other crap. You're part of basically 2 seasons, 100 losses. Enough already. Pipe down. Shut up.
Yeah, I agree
with
that.
You're the one that blew off your meeting for whatever reason. And he may be right. You know, Porzingis may be right because of the dysfunction that is the Knicks. I get that. And I get he's a player who probably has got people whispering in his ear how great he is.
Yeah.
And maybe the work ethic's not there. Maybe it's just not there. Maybe he's part of the problem as opposed to moving forward being the solution. So if I knew that there was a guy there that I could get that I really wanted, let's say Fox, let's say it's the draft night.
Right.
And it goes like everybody thinks it's going to go, and it goes Fultz and Ball. Now you sit there, and the Celtics have got to make a decision.
Well, their decision is, we have a point guard in Isaiah Thomas. What are we going to do? Do we go get a shooting guard or small forward, et cetera, et cetera?
Or do we get a 7-foot wing player?
I don't think they want Ball anyway, so Ball's are over.
We believe that if we put Porzingis in our culture – and in our system, with Brad Stevens and with Danny Ainge, and
he's
with
a rock star.
Maybe, just maybe, that puts us over the top. I don't know.
I mean, that's how you view it, but they did say in announcing the trade with the Sixers that the Sixers will get the player they want, and at 3, we know for a fact we'll still get the player we want, meaning Fultz is going to go to Philly.
It's got
to
be Fox.
Ball would go to the Lakers, and I believe I don't think it's Fox.
So it's got to be one of the forwards then.
Because you have Isaiah Thomas. Why would you draft Fox third? Right? And if they feel that, you know, sure that they will get the guy they want at three, then I don't think Fox is the guy they want. You know, they're not trading Isaiah Thomas, right? So when you look at the NBA draft and you start looking at the guys that make sense for them, assuming, of course, that everyone's being honest here and no one's saying that anyone is being honest.
Everybody's playing games right now.
But if you take a look at it, and listen, I recognize that many of you, you're going to hear names. Everyone says names. You've never seen these kids play. But the name you're going to hear is Josh Jackson. He's a small forward out of Kansas. The name you're going to hear outside of him is Jason Tatum. He's a small forward out of Duke. And they're really the top two guys that in the draft that aren't guards, based on the experts. I'm going to tell you, I'm saying
I mean, everything I'm reading, and I don't know. I might have seen three of his games this year. Everything that I have read is that this Fox kid can be as good, if not better, than the other two guys, Ball and Fultz. And that there are many people who think that the Lakers may go with Fox over Ball just because of the whole Ball nonsense and LeVar Ball and all
that. Because he abused
the
one-on-one.
Right.
Right? So if he's better than the other kid, at least when they played head-to-head, twice I think they played each other?
Right.
Fox is a can't-miss kid. Doesn't mean he's a rock star. Just means the kid's going to be a very competent
player. They say Showtime, man. Huh? That means Lakers. He's got Lakers written all over him.
Maybe. I just, you know, the only other two kids, because the kid from Kentucky, Monk, is not a top three or four pick, according to the experts. I'm not telling you. This is me and Boomer giving it to you. But if you have Isaiah Thomas and you're not trading him, then why are you going out there drafting a point guard at three?
I'll tell you what, the Knicks.
You're taking Josh Jackson or you're taking Jason Tatum.
The Knicks or you're trading for Porzingis.
Or now all of a sudden, because Porzingis is available, you trade for Porzingis, right.
And then it's up to the Knicks to get the right guys. And then if they get Fox, I'll tell you what, if they got Fox at number three, I think that would be a huge win for them.
And I would tell you this, if you're the Celtics, Porzingis is better than both those kids I just talked about coming out of the draft. He's a known quantity.
Plus, he's going into his
third
year.
You put him in your system. You put him in surrounded by talent, great coaching, and a solid organization. Porzingis becomes one of the best players in the league in the East for sure. And if I'm the Knicks, I agree. Knicks can get Fox at three, great, get him. They're still going to suck.
Yeah, but at least they have a foundation player that they can build around that's going to handle the ball pretty much every time down the court.
Yeah, listen, go ahead and go get him. And then cross your fingers that a kid like Monk or maybe the kid from NC State, not NC State, the kid from Florida State, whose name escapes me right now, maybe he comes see at eight. I don't know. But if you can get two players in the top 10 in this draft.
You mean Jonathan Isaac?
Jonathan Isaac. If you can get two players in the top 10 in this draft, then the question is, do you trust Phil Jackson to draft the right kids? But I would agree with you on this. Although I don't think you trade Porzingis, if I can get Fox, who's supposed to be a stud.
But the only way you would get him is if you traded Porzingis for the number three spot and the Lakers chose Lonzo Ball.
Here's the real problem. Porzingis will abuse you for the next 6 or 7 years.
Doesn't matter. I mean, you're getting abused anyway. Both the Celtics and the Sixers are going to be better.
Here's Eric in Marlton quickly on the fan. Eric, what do you got?
What's up, guys? Good morning. Love you both very much.
Thanks, E. What's going on, man?
Yeah. I've been a Knicks fan. I'm 41 since the Bernard King days.
So talk about Bernard King with the baseline fadeaway with the bandages on his fingers. Go ahead.
Craig, you know what I'm talking about. You know it. But I would trade Porzingis for that pick. I would take Ball if the
Lakers. Nah, Ball's you don't want any part of Lonzo Ball.
Oh, that would be awesome. If the Knicks got Lonzo and LeVar Ball, that would awesome.
I don't think Lonzo Ball's going to be that good.
I'm not sold on Porzingis. I think he's going to be a slightly above average player. I don't think he's nearly as good as people think. If you could trade him and we can have two top 10 picks, I mean, that I agree with Boomer. I mean, two top 10 picks. I mean,
you got to go for it. And because, you know, you're not going anywhere with the present current set of characters. Maybe some of the pieces that they have here, they'll be good and they'll keep. But, you know, at the end of the day, they need a point guard in the worst way. And they need, and
I
that's
agree.
Why.
You have to make this move. You have to do it if you can do it.
Well, I mean, it's up to the Celtics to do it.
Depends on who's sitting there. Like, you can't just make the trade today without knowing Fox is going to be there.
I think the wild card is the Lakers, not the Sixers.
Well, that's what I'm saying. No, the Sixers are taking faults.
They're taking faults.
Oh, they're
right.
Taking faults, yeah.
That's a done deal. I do think, however, that, you know, you talk about Magic Johnson. He gets it, man, you know? That means he's going to make the right decision. What? Would you be shocked? I don't think anyone other than the Lakers really wants Lonzo Ball. I also don't think Lonzo Ball is going to be all that great. I don't know what your take is.
Well,
I don't know,
having seen him play. I don't know about any of these kids. You know, we hear every year this time, no matter what draft it is, whether it's the NFL draft, the NBA, who thought Dak Prescott was going to turn out to be as great as he was?
Fair, but that's
nobody.
True. Situation,
nobody
place, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, so, and I'm not saying whoever the Knicks get is not going to be what I would consider like the guy that's going to, you know, put the team over the top. This is like Phil Jackson starting all over again. It's like Mike Maccagni of the Jets starting all over again.
Right.
That's what's going on here. It's, you know, when Sean Marks took over the Nets. Okay, first we got to build a culture. First we got to get it right. We can't have players showing up late. We got to have players showing up on time. We got to get the right character players. We got to build around that. We got to get effort players. You know, and at the end of the day, you could see that the Nets did not have enough good players.
Right.
But you can't sit here and tell me that that wasn't a much better product watching it this year than it had been over the last two or three years.
Yep. And what's funny about
at least they cared.
That was obvious.
But that's part and parcel of creating the right character makeup of your team, and then also setting the bar very high and making sure that your internal feelings about the organization and the way it's going to be run, the way the players are going to be expected to perform, that's the way they started last year. And now they're trying to add to that. And they're going to try to get better and younger and faster. And they're going to do it by making trades like they did yesterday. So, you know, I stand up and give a big cheer when I saw that they made that trade and they got D'Angelo Russell. They got a 21-year-old point
guard. I think
it's
a great trade.
Yes.
Yep. I think it's a great trade. I give the Nets a lot of credit for making it.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
The Kansas City Chiefs are going to be in prime time this year. Once, twice, three times, four times, five times, six times, Boom.
Okay.
Now, what's so special about the Kansas City Chiefs that they get prime time six times?
You would think it would be the Packers, the Patriots, the Cowboys would be leading the pack in that area, maybe even the New York Giants.
For sure. I mean, you're talking about the Chiefs, who at some point this year are going to turn the reins over to a kid, a quarterback, and they ain't winning the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen.
So I think four of the games are in Kansas City, two are on the road. One of them is the New England game, so I get that. But, yeah, the Kansas City Chiefs will be on the Humpty Dance. Here's your chance to do the hump.
How many? That is the most amount of times a team will be on?
Six times, Booms.
Who's second on that list? You know? Do you have the list or
Do you know who came in second place in Miss America last year? I don't.
Miss Illinois. So let me ask you a question.
I think it's Cowboys and Patriots are tied for second.
All right, that's all I'm asking you.
Yeah, but if I knew second, I would have told you. I would have played the game. All right, Boomer, I got the top three.
They might have had a list for the amount of teams.
I imagine
there's
probably a list
somewhere. I don't think the Jets are in primetime once.
Nor should they be.
They might be maybe on a Thursday night.
I mean, the Jets begged HBO to do Hard Knocks. They go, when we do Hard Knocks for minor league teams, we'll call you.
Come on now.
I know. I take my shots. You know, we're still dealing with that other issue with the Jets. You're aware of that, right? The Jets have this weird thing. I don't know that the Giants do this, but the Jets do it more than any other team I've ever seen.
What's that?
And there's an aspect of it where you want to respect because they're loyal partners.
Okay.
But there's another aspect of it where you're like, come on, guys. Let's just all get along, you know?
All right, what is the problem?
Well, the Jets won't do anything without ESPN's permission, you know? And I get it, they're partners. I don't think the Giants get asked questions and go, hold on, let me call Chernoff first. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think
and
that
it's a weird situation.
I think the Jets may use that as somewhat of an excuse also.
Right. Hey, we'd love to do that, but we can't do it because of them.
Right.
That's a fair point. Yeah, that's a fair point.
It's like when people say, hey, can you? Nah, Craigie, I can't. With
Craig I'd love to
that.
Do that, but I'm not available.
Yeah, Craig's got me tied up that day.
Yeah. Hey, Boomer, would you go now? I'm with Craig. Again, I'm with Craig. Boomer and I are spending a lot of extra time together, Al. We tonight, Boomer was very kind enough to allow a group of 20 kids, 12 and 13-year-olds, to come play flag football before the Empire Challenge starts. Then what would be really cool for these kids, they're playing a game at halftime as well.
Right.
Which is awesome. It'll be a great experience for them and their families. So I'll spend most of tonight with Boomer. Because Boomer goes into football mode at this event, and it's fascinating change of personality.
Oh, yeah.
And I just like being there for it.
That's good.
Then, of course, tomorrow is Thursday. Somehow we got rooked into a photo shoot after we do the show at Grand Central.
Yep. Did you get rooked? Who scheduled that?
I have no recollection of saying yes to this on the day that we're
doing
the
remote. Photo shoot, autographs, the whole thing.
That's really tough.
And that Jerry sucks, and Al, too, I think.
No. After Grand Central, we got to go to Jersey City.
Yes.
We're filming some stuff for CBS.
But you have to do the autographs at first at the
no, as soon as the show's over, I'm out the door.
Oh, no. Scheduled autographs.
Let me explain that to you again. When the show's over, I'll thank everyone that needs to be thanked. They'll shake some hands, and then peace out.
Out the back door.
There ain't even a back door. That is, I walk out the front. Hey, bye. See you. Peace. I go to JC.
I got the good idea in this regard, that since Jerry and Al don't travel with the softball team and don't give autographs in those settings, then this would be the perfect setting for them to give autographs.
It's really funny. A guy who takes a couple days off this week is killing us for not going to a softball game. What is the problem?
Fair point, Boom.
A couple days off.
I missed one game, and I'm going to miss another one.
It's my right to take a day off, especially when I'm doing.
And it's my right not to
the children
go to a softball game on a Friday night when I have something else to do.
Okay. Well, then,
and I will not be coming to the next softball game because I have a baseball tournament.
What?
That was registered for in April.
You know what? You guys could just sign the autographs tomorrow. So
I'm taking FU.
Yeah, that is a good point, Booms. Why you guys are just?
I'm working. I don't know about you.
Why don't you guys just sign autographs tomorrow?
I would love
spend the next year.
I mean, I got updates through 11:40, so I don't know how that would fit in.
Well, in between the 20 minutes that
you
have,
very much going on.
Anybody's going to want your autographs?
Nobody. You brought it up, not me.
There'll be a heavyset girl out there that wants it.
And I'm sure she'll smell lovely and she'll be pretty, and that'll be great.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think by the nature of being sloppy, she'll probably be lovely but not smell that good.
Fake breasts.
But hopefully Chaos by Carton will be in my office by tomorrow.
Nice.
So I can have you guys, you know, buy those and have them ready to go.
Right.
For everybody. So we all smell the same going forward. Here's Jerry with an update now. Hi, Jerry.
Well, good morning. And we are brought to you by Brothers Supply, New York's number one source for ice air PTAX, water source heat pumps, and fan coils. You guys are doing the football. So quickly, a couple of things here.
Yes.
Antonio Brown and Roger Goodell, did you see this? A little awkward. We know about you're going to be able to score a touchdown and you kind of express yourself now. So Brown put out a short little video with Goodell standing right next to him.
With the best commission in the game, we're allowed to celebrate now.
Let's do it.
The commissioner, let's do it. It just
let's do
looked
it.
Weird.
Let's do this strange. Like Brutus.
Very strange.
You played yourself.
You played yourself.
That's one of the best clips.
Yeah.
That's funny. And then Jerry Jones is going to go meet the Pope. So you do have that. So that should be fun.
Would you rather meet the Pope or would you rather meet the president?
I would think, depends. If you're Catholic, you would say the Pope.
That's a fair point. I'd rather meet the president. I think he's probably more relatable. But if you're very religious and it's as close to God as you might get, then yeah. That's
is that a Trump
image? Trump face.
That's a trip to the White House and everything, right?
Yeah, White House. Vatican's in Italy. That's also nice.
Good morning.
And plus,
clam up.
Does the Pope speak French or something?
He speaks about 9 languages, I think. But he would speak Italian, would probably be most popes' native tongue, but I could be wrong about that.
See, I feel like the president
speaks English.
Easier conversation.
Yes. All right. What else, Jerry?
We'll get to the baseball. Your Yankees had a tough night last night. They were tied 3-3, and the next thing you knew, the Angels took the lead, and then it was capped off late.
And the pitch is hit in the air to deep left center. Hicks going back, way back in left center, and it is gone in a monument.
How does that ball get out?
Right on the deep left field side of Monument Park.
And by the way, it's John Sterling and Susan
Pickle
there in the background.
Ginger.
George and 10-foot home run.
I think you look at Bellinger's home run last night in LA. You wonder how that got out.
I agree. This is happening.
Because the ball is jacked right now. Has to be.
I mean, all of
that ball went 400. It wasn't like he hit a short porch.
Yeah, but when you heard it off the crack of the bat, you could tell that he hit it hard. Wasn't that?
That's pretty good. That is pretty good. That's a Valbuena home run.
Yeah, what's the exit velo on that?
114.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I don't know. I don't know if the Yankees home run sounded like that. Although probably
I know that I want to have some Frank's Red Hot Sauce, though. I can tell you that much. The ball went right into the Frank's little porch there. How you doing, Red Hot Sauce?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Anyway, so
Tabasco sauce.
Here's how, you want to hear the exit below. Here's how the Judge home run sounded.
Swung on.
Well, that's not it. This one, here you go.
Here's the 2-1.
That's another one. Sounds good. That's your boy, Aaron Judge. That's 24 home runs.
That's the meat of the bat right there, man.
In the loss. 8-3 was the final score. Tyler Clippard gave up the big blow, really the big inning, but Cameron Mabrin with a home run to put Anaheim ahead. Joe Girardi, Clippard struggling.
There's things that we'll look at.
Yeah, bullpen has issues.
These guys have had too much success. You know, Clip's had too much success. You know, these guys have had too much success for this to continue, but right now it's a struggle.
Michael Pineda losing stinks.
It's tough for everybody, but the only thing you can do in life is keep working.
And he only gave up one earned run.
Yeah,
he gave
Pineda, it's been great all year. You know? Yeah. He's been really terrific all year.
And I don't know if you saw the Chris Carter play at first base, too, which opened the door for the two runs.
Yeah, you heard what Girardi said afterwards about him. I don't have it. He was asked about, you know, Chris Carter playing first base because of the error. And he said, and I quote, "That's what we have."
I'm not being a jackass. I'm asking you a serious question.
Yeah.
A good size. He's batting 200. He's not a good fielder. Remember the play in Oakland where he dropped the throw that was right to him?
Yep.
He's batting 201. He strikes out a million times. Yeah. I mean, is that a good signing? I mean, I know Birds hurt, so you could say, well, you needed
insurance.
That
was a great signing, according to Craigie, about 3 months ago.
Well, that's why I said I'm not trying to be
ago.
Funny.
Yeah,
I'm being.
Yeah, it was awesome. Like, great signing. Good signing. Oh, yeah.
Whatever. That's what they have, and it didn't go well. Here is,
you lose 7 in a row, and now you're out of first place.
True. Here's Brett Gardner.
You know, just a tough week or so for us, and hopefully, like I said, turn things around tomorrow.
Yeah,
and they will with Monty on the mound tonight against Ricky Nolasco.
Jordan Montgomery will have
it for you
right here. I
think they'll win out the week is what they'll do.
They're going to win out the week. So they're going to have a return to like that Boston-Baltimore series.
Yeah, they're going to win out the week.
Where they start just putting runs up in bunches.
That's all. They're going to win out the week.
You had 4 hits last
night. You think they'll touch first place again?
I do think they'll touch first place.
They will?
Yes, I do.
Why don't you give up more runs in the first inning? Give people no reason to watch the game past the first 3 hours.
You guys lost 8-3.
Excuse me?
You guys lost 8-3, and it's 7 in a row.
3-3 game in the seventh. At least it was entertaining.
How about the fact the Yankees, after they beat the Angels last week, had a 4-game lead?
Oh, yeah. And now look at them.
The point being, we always sit there and say, oh, they're 4 games out with 12 to play. Yeah, you're not going to make that up. Of course it can.
Well, with 12 to play, you're not. But
they just lost a 4-game lead in 7 days.
It can go like that. Yes. Gonzo, that's right.
Gone. By the way, look out for the Rays. They won again last night, too. They're only a few games out.
You've said it all year long. No one's going to run away with the division, including the Yankees.
No.
But no one's also going to be 12 games out before July. Oh, yeah, they are. The Mets. I keep forgetting that the Mets suck.
The Mets do suck.
I tell you, the single best financial decision I made in my entire life was saying no to them for renewal of season tickets. I mean, that is, like, that money right now is having a party in the bank. I go, woohoo! Woohoo! He didn't use us on the Mets! Hey, Dollar, what's up, 5? Just chilling, 20 spot. What's up with you? Oh, we're just so happy. Wait, he's taking us out for spice drops again? Oh, what a whore.
In fairness, you haven't seen a 1 or a 5 in a long time.
See, why would you say something like that?
Because I picked up the bagels last week and I saw what you gave me.
I gave you a
hundo. Ones and fives.
Did I give you a hundo?
Right. That's
because
my point.
I ordered a lot of bagels.
Yes, you did.
Meanwhile, I got you a chicken pot pie from Grandma's house. Remember the guy that catered the,
very good.
The pregame
really good.
In Brooklyn?
Yeah.
Yo, I got you one because that's how we. And I got you some ribs up in there too. I'll heat them up in a minute.
Right. He actually said yesterday, grab me one for Boomer for tomorrow.
That's how I do.
You're always thinking of me.
To be fair, there's an ulterior motive.
That means everything. What?
Well, tonight I'll be at the Empire Challenge, of course. You have that hurricane wing joint coming, right?
Yes.
What?
You'll be all knee deep in that.
VIP what?
Right. Hmm.
Dodgers
three more, sir. What are we? Children here, you put the dozen on the plate and let a man eat the way man should eat.
Yes.
Dodgers beat the Mets 12-0. Corey Seager, 3 home runs. Cody Bellinger is 22nd. Just quickly, just brutal. Phil Jackson reportedly fielding these offers for Kristaps Porzingis. Who knows? Clippers also reportedly shopping.
Like the way you phrase that.
Why?
The Knicks are not fielding offers.
Why is that?
The Knicks are aggressively looking
That's
for
not
a,
how I
a
read
shooter.
It. That is not how I read it at all.
All you have to do is open Pandora's box, and then everybody comes.
So everything somebody, I have read.
So somebody on your side has to start it,
right?
Which the Knicks seem to have done. They let it out, and now they're going to see what's available out there.
I read it completely differently.
The Knicks made it known he's available.
Right, so they're fielding offers.
But that makes it seem like guys are just kind of, hey,
yeah,
what
but you're
you,
making
you
it seem like
Porzingis?
He's calling everybody in the league. You want Porzingis?
I think he did. They put out a league-wide notice. Popo's available. No. Come make your best offer.
I think there's only one way you do that, and that is if you secure the third pick, or if the third pick is not Fox and Fox drops for whatever reason, which I can't imagine that happening, then maybe you trade him to another team. But I think if you have your eyes on De'Aaron Fox, then that's the guy that you would end up trading Porzingis for if he's available to the team that has that draft pick.
Boomer and Carton on the Fan. More coming up on the Zinger, plus the baseball as well. Plus, I need to get an update about that girls' high school lacrosse coach who was supposed to get married in the Poconos.
Oh, yeah.
I had a decision, do I go to the wedding or do I go to the game? And it was his wedding. We never got an answer on that. We'll get one coming up after the break.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
The New York Jets over-under for this upcoming season is 5.
Yeah, I noticed.
Okay? There is more money bet in Vegas to this day on the New York Jets over-under than the history of the NFL from a preseason gambling standpoint over-unders.
Really?
Yep. So the question is, with the over-under at 5... and there's more money that's been placed on the Jets over-under, I want to be clear about this, in the history of Las Vegas gambling on a preseason announced over-under for the year. Do you think all the money's on the over or the under?
The under.
Is that your final answer, Bob?
Yes.
And that would be absolutely correct.
Yeah.
The Vegas casinos have never seen anything like it. The amount of money that's come in for a, you know, it's obviously, it's not even the preseason yet. They call them future bets. The total amount of wins Jets this year, and it's the under 5.
You know, we've actually criticized one of their players over the last year and a half pretty good. But that one player came out this past week and said, there's going to be no tanking on my watch. And that would be Sheldon Richardson.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I know. So it's easy to be cynical.
How about you go? How about you go there? How about this? Just start off with showing up when you're supposed to show up.
Well, maybe he will, and maybe he's learned his lesson, and maybe this defense. You know, they still have one of the best defensive lines in all of football.
I should explain to a guy like Sheldon when people like me or you talk about tanking a season. No one's suggesting that individual player goes on the field and allows himself to get beat. Or drops a ball on purpose, or throws an interception on purpose. That's not what we mean by tanking.
That
what
would
we
be
mean
gambling, by, and that would be throwing games.
Right. What we mean by tanking is the team has not done its... Well, let me rephrase that. The team on purpose has not tried to create the best team possible for this year. And they have not. They've cut almost everybody.
But you know what? Last year at this time, they did try to do that. And look what happened.
Yeah, it backfired.
And it backfired, and it basically cost them a year.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
You get the whole thing going. Tonight, 6, the Empire Challenge. We got 20 kids playing flag football. Pre-game, and then at halftime.
So I heard you ordered new uniforms for those kids that are going to match our uniforms.
I thought that was the right thing to do.
Right, so our uniforms, basically the New York City uniforms, are an ode to the subway system because the subway system's so screwed up these days.
Well, you have a logo for the event.
Yes.
And we took the logo.
Yep.
And we put the logo on the chest, and we have white on black, black on white.
And Gunner and Richie and Pete and Pete's buddy, his sons, all came up with the idea of a black and white game. So New York City will be in all black. Long Island will be in all white. I know how Phil Mushnick loves those things.
Oh, I can't believe they're having kids dressed in black.
Think about the kids in New York City. Kids all have the Helvetica font.
Helvetica.
And have all the numbers and situation that looks like the New York subway system sign. And the Long Island kids have all the New York road signs. And have a little bit of a wave. Font-wise. And a little bit of a wave on their helmet representing the beach, the coast, and away we go.
I told the kids playing flag football tonight that tonight's the night they get discovered. I go, you're going to be on TV.
Yeah, okay.
You're going to have a lot of football people there. You know, the Jets will be there.
The Jets will be scouting, yes.
CBS Sports Network will be there. I go, there's going to be scouts at this game.
Scouts, lots of scouts, yeah.
Okay. So I want you to take it seriously,
right? Dream big.
And one of the kids was like, oh, Dad, I'm being... A kid picked up his phone yesterday and called home and said, Mom and Dad, I'm going to be scouted by the Jets tomorrow. It was great. That's so great. Innocent, organic.
Right.
Yes, it's great. So looking forward to it tonight. Traffic I'm worried about for me, selfishly.
Always, you should be.
Because I'm coming from the city.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave the city at 3, and I know I got to be there about 4:30. So I think the flag football starts about 5.
All right, well, good luck getting there.
So I'll be there because it don't start without me.
I hear you.
That's how that goes.
Right.
Got it?
You know, it's one of the great things that that our foundation does. 22 years running this game. We've had over 4,000 coaches and players go through it. We've had about 40 players that have actually made it into the NFL for a cup of coffee or a little bit longer than that. It's a lot of pride for the kids that play in it.
Sure.
And certainly for all the high school football players in and around our area.
You got any NFL guys swinging by this year?
I'm sure, I'm sure there will be a bunch. I
heard Willie Colon might be coming by.
He might. I know Eric Coleman is actually the former Jet, is going to be the sideline reporter for CBS Sports Network. And
like
I got Marty Lyons doing the game with Mike Quick and all those guys. So it's going to be great. Everybody's familiar with what we do and how we do it. So hopefully we'll get a performance like we did last year with New York coming back late in the game to win the game. So it was a great game.
I might do a play-by-play, I guess, right?
No, you're not.
My pleasure to fill and do that for you.
No,
what happened?
You're not doing anything. You'll get yelled at by a lot of Long Island people. You know that.
Well, they love me in Long Island.
They love you.
I just make sure I have all my appropriate passes so I go wherever I want to go.
Well, you've been speaking to the right people who have those passes.
This is the one time I show up and I go, this is my pass. The old Karl Malone line. And then they go, I hear you, sir. But I'm looking forward to it.
It's like when you and I were shooting that commercial the other day, the promos. We were out on the basketball court and we were doing the whole white man can't jump thing. And we had a bunch of guys around.
Yep.
And I turned to one guy and I said, you know, I don't need no tickets to get into any place. He goes, why? I said, because you see what this is right here? It's known as cover charge.
The guys like that.
They like that.
They're like, oh, man, cover charge. We got cover charge playing ball right now.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Here's Ricky in Rockland County on the fan. Ricky, what do you got, stud?
Well, you guys asked me to call back. My son-in-law had that conflict, getting married 5:30 on a Saturday.
Now, let me set it up better real quick. So your son-in-law is the head coach of a high school lacrosse team. They have a big upset win. They make it to the championship game. The championship game is supposed to be played the same time that he's marrying your daughter in the Poconos. He can't be at both places. They appealed to the league or the district to change the time of the game with another game. And the final result was what?
The game wasn't changed. My son-in-law was at the wedding.
And did they win the championship?
No, they lost 12-7.
Ooh. Did he get fired yet?
Not at all. He made the right move, guys. And Boomer, I got a little bone to
pick. He made the right move according to whom?
According to any father with any sense of what's right and wrong.
Uh-huh.
What about the children?
Boomer, I got a little bone to pick with you because, you know, when I called up, you sort of said, well, he should be at the game. The kids were counting on him, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, Boomer, I have 4 kids.
Mm-hmm.
They all played Division I sports.
Mm-hmm.
My son-in-law also played Division I sports.
Right.
From an early age, my kids knew that when they play a team sport, it's team first. And, you know, actually,
what's the bone then?
I threatened them. If I ever saw them not hustling on the field, I'd drag them off by their freaking
but
ears.
But what's the bone to pick with Boomer?
What's that?
What's your bone?
Boomer said he should have been. Oh, no way. You should have gone to the game.
Right.
Go to the game.
Well, you see your way, and I see it my way. So, I mean, it's all right. As long as your son-in-law and daughter are happy, then good for them.
Here's the problem with it, Ricky. Well, first off, I'm glad everything went well. You think there's a small part of him that is always going to have some kind of resentment towards not being at the championship game?
I don't think resentment. I think regret.
Regret.
Well, so, regret, resentment, same kind of thing, kind of feel.
No,
it's not. Regret is you feel badly about it. Resentment means that you're bitter towards somebody about it.
What if he's bitter towards you about it?
Not at all. I had no influence on it.
You know, the interesting thing is he was in a no-win situation.
Yeah.
At the end of the day,
that's right.
There's no way. But I was saying, like, your daughter now is married to a coach. And when anybody who's ever been married to a coach, whether it be a man coach or a woman coach, whatever it is.
Doesn't matter, right?
Doesn't really matter. They'll tell you the sacrifices that come along with that because the coach is preaching to his team all the time about sacrificing, all in. And that's basically the way it goes. And unfortunately for your son-in-law and your daughter, you know, they made their decision, which is fine. You know, that's what they felt was in the best interest of what they were doing. And I'm sure most parents on the other side would totally understand why he couldn't be there. He's just in a terrible spot. That's all.
And the worst case scenario is that the kids lost. But listen, I'm sure he has great assistant coaches. And if he's that good, which he apparently is, they'll get back to
him. So, you know, we do our major fundraising events in March and April and May. And one of those big events, obviously, is our black tie event. And Gunner is obviously front and center in all of that.
Sure.
And always has been. And, you know, now that he's coaching hockey, there's sometimes where the hockey team comes first. Because he's made a commitment to those kids,
right,
that he has to be there. And, you know, this year was one of those weird years, much like that previous caller's son-in-law, where the team went farther than expected.
Right.
And the farther you go, the more problems their turn comes out to
schedule-wise.
Be. Schedule-wise.
Right.
And, you know, and Gunn just said, Dad, I'm the head coach. I got to be here.
Right.
Now, he's not getting married.
Sure. You
know, but so there's different aspects of it. But I said to him, I said, you know, Gunn, you do owe it to those kids because if you ask those kids to practice over vacation time or something like that, then you got to be there. When you know, you ask them to be there, you have to be there.
Which is why I would just recommend that, you know, Matt and Sydney not schedule anything silly in June, right? Just in case. Like if the Maple Leafs wind up in a Stanley Cup final and you've got, you know, nuptials on June 4th or whatever the date might be, and all of a sudden, he's in game six.
You mean Sydney's wedding getting upset by hockey? There's certain things that are bigger than hockey. I have a feeling that whenever Sydney decides to get married,
right,
that wedding is going to be bigger than whatever else.
The NHL will actually take a day off to accommodate the size.
We're talking about Sydney.
Fair point. It's a fair point.
Right.
That is a fair point. That being said, July, August are good months for Matt.
Oh, yeah, that was smart. Yes.
Yeah, and if you played for the Rangers, do it in June. I'll do it in the end of May for a whole
weekend.
You're
an idiot.
Just don't make it on a holiday weekend. That's the worst. You know, and no destination wedding crap either. You know, do it at, matter of fact, you know what would be nice?
What would be nice?
You do it at your home. Just what you want.
Yeah.
A big tent in the backyard.
Right, exactly.
Tons of traffic in the front of the house.
Yeah, I got plenty of room for that.
People coming in and out. Oh, Boomer, this is a fantastic place.
Oh, the neighbors would be pissed. Oh, forget it.
But Boomer's house ain't that big. It'd be great. And that way you can control the numbers. Because she's going to want 500 people invited to this thing.
Well, first of all, this thing that you keep speaking of is...
Plus, you're going to have border patrol your crib because so many Canadians are coming.
The only one that discusses this thing is you.
I do.
That's the only one.
Now, Matt and I have gotten very close.
I don't know why you are so, like, fascinated by this.
Because it'll be the wedding of the century.
No, it won't.
Yes.
No, it won't.
For many people, it will be.
No.
The coronation...
It's almost like a royal wedding.
...of a queen.
Look, I'm not agreeing or saying anything about this. This is not,
Daddy. I know we reached our budget, but Matt wants more pigs and blankets.
I'm the queen of Basking Ridge.
Can we have flowers everywhere, Daddy? Have you? Hopefully, you know they should have for dads. And I should say it's for parents, not just
therapy.
Dads. No, not just that.
Yes.
You know, they started this really wonderful program called the 529 plan, which allows you to start putting money away For your kid's college education, and whatever interest is accrued in that money, it's tax-free as long as you use it for your kid's post-high school education.
And I'm
right?
here to say that my 529 plans for both Sydney and Gunn are fully paid for all their colleges.
Right.
So from the day that they were born,
a couple
bam.
Hundred bucks, a couple thousand bucks, whatever you can
whatever
do.
Whatever I can put in there,
it's for
I put
savings,
in there.
Right?
Yes.
It's one of the greatest things ever invented. Actually, Obama wanted to get rid of it. but it got saved. In any event, okay. They should create the same type of plan for
a wedding.
Weddings.
Yes.
A 529 wedding plan, right? That way, as soon as you have a beautiful daughter or an ugly kid, doesn't matter if they're good looking or not, someone's going to fall in love with them, which always fascinates me.
Yeah.
You ever walk down the street of New York and see someone who's just a disgusting looking human being? And then about 2 seconds later, their partner comes out and they're equally as disgusting or maybe not. And somehow that pig found someone who thinks that the sun rises and shines when he or she wakes up and goes to bed. Right? Like that person found someone who thinks that,
oh, I didn't love you so much. It's everything about you is just wonderful.
Gay. How about you, you pig?
Yeah, New York, she's got like 3 goiters. You know.
Actually, when you talk this way, I don't think pig so much as I think like Al's girlfriend. Like, what was Al's girlfriend thinking about? What does she see in Al?
Now, I don't like going down that road. I think that's typically offensive. But since you brought it up, I'll allow it this one time.
You do. That's all you do every day.
I never ever question Al's girlfriend's choices in her men.
I'm lonely. Help me.
But I will say this.
Yes.
Only because you brought it up. I find this to be a very offensive thing. Like, I hate it when...
Well, you just started it. No. Who is more offensive? You're talking about pigs and this pig.
If I'm talking generically. Like, I see people...
I'm not saying Al's a pig. He's not a pig.
No, thank you.
No, you're right. But you know what I'm talking about. That sloppy, disgusting person. And you're like, someone's in love with that. Like, someone can't wait to get home to snuggle up on the couch to, I really have a great day working.
And meanwhile, there's some beautiful person out there where some guy's sick of that.
Right.
It's the other way.
Right, exactly right. There's a hot Victoria's Secret model somewhere that some guy's tired of going home to, right?
Yes.
That being said, you brought up Al's girlfriend.
Yes.
Now, I would typically not go in this direction because I don't think it's right or fair.
Most people expect not a lot from me.
Right, and it's kind of douchey.
Yeah, but that's what
do
I don't understand.
But here's a beautiful woman who seems, I may have never spent a lot of time in private alone with her, but seems like she doesn't have, you know, she's not missing something.
She's
right?
lovely is what she is. That's
yeah,
how I mean,
that's
lovely. How, that's
fun,
how I would.
Will,
yes.
She likes to do stuff, get out of the house, live life, the whole bit.
I couldn't wait for you to get home.
She is at a point
that's
in her
what
life
I'm talking about.
When she looks at Al and goes, that's all a woman could ever want. And it's R. Al Dukes. And he, by his own admission, he is a pain in the ass to date. Like, they...
Yeah, but I think you're past that now, aren't you?
No,
it gets
very
worse.
Past that. Miserable about everything.
No, it gets worse the longer it goes.
So then there's got to be, she's got to have some misery attached to her too.
No,
then.
Sometimes people love the opposite of them.
Oh, I see.
Which is this case.
This is clearly because she's like, she wants to go out and have fun.
She's happy
and nice.
Every time
we ever see her, she's smiling, she's laughing, having a great time.
Huggy kissy. She loves new experiences. She loves meeting new people.
Traveling.
All things I dislike.
Periscoping, all that crap.
Just,
you love the periscope.
Perfect example, headliner. He was beside himself. He was beyond anger.
Yes.
And she was taking pictures, having a great time.
Right, exactly.
And he could not have been more miserable.
That's
I don't get it. That's the whole thing. I just don't.
You know what's amazing about that headliner show?
Yes.
That was our highest rated show of the week.
Yeah, that was that.
Makes no sense.
That's what makes me think ratings mean not
nothing.
Meanwhile, Al says to his girlfriend, listen, tomorrow night's going to be.
We did have Bob Polding and Gary U.S.
Bonds. Fair point.
Yeah.
Listen, next Friday, I want to take you out in the town. We're going to have a nice dinner.
Oh, yeah,
we're going to have a bottle of wine, the whole bit.
Yep.
She's like, this is what I want from my man, you know, spontaneity, making plans and telling me what we're going to go do socially. And then he swings by her house at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. She goes, oh, a little bit early now. He goes, early. Dinner's in 20 minutes. and then on the way to dinner, they'll stop at a liquor store. She goes, I thought we were going to a nice Italian restaurant. He goes, yeah, but it's BYOB, so it costs less. He goes, and he buys, no joke, a $12 bottle of wine, comes out with it. It's they spell Italy wrong on the bottle. That's how cheap the bottle is.
Why didn't you just bring one of your Al's boring wines that you made?
I could do that as well.
They're done with dinner at 6. At 6.
Now what?
Netflix and chill.
He's in bed. I called him the other day. I go, I'm going to be in Jersey. I go, if you want to get together for dinner, I'll be out there for a couple hours.
But who eats at 9 o'clock at night you do?
This is
like,
at 6. Nobody.
This was 6 o'clock. Craig 6 called
o'clock,
me.
I called, look, I'm going to be in Jersey. If you want to grab dinner, it'd be great. He goes, I've already had dinner. I've already cleaned up. I'm getting into bed soon.
That's true. 6? No substitutions.
I just put my trash in the freezer.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.